All this week, VPR is taking a look at the decreasing size of Vermont schools in our series Declining Enrollment. The state schools are not just small. Around 21% would be considered micro schools, according to the state's education secretary. Granville's was not your typical small school. When it closed 6 years ago, it was one of the only remaining one-room schoolhouses in Vermont. Despite that unique history, as VPR Steve Zind reports, the experience of parents and other residents illustrates the challenges and opportunities facing a community when a school closes.
Oh, my knee!
School buses still stop in Granville, but these days they come from more distant places, including Rochester, further south on Route 100, and Middlebury, 25 miles away over a mountain pass. One afternoon, as he waited for the bus carrying his daughter, Theodore Smith acknowledged a common sentiment about Granville's now-defunct school.
It should have been kept open, but they don't have enough to keep it going.
Like other towns, Granville went through a slow and sometimes painful process before it closed its school. When the end came, it was the result of a decision by voters in neighboring Hancock to close its school and end an arrangement where the two towns divided grades and students between their two small schools. At that point, Granville was left with about 10 K-6 students and little choice but to close as well. In the years leading up to the closing, some Granville residents had objected to the expense of running the school. But many were more concerned about the quality of education when there are so few students. Kate Stouse is a teacher whose two children attended the one-room school. Stouse says the introduction of grade-specific testing also made it difficult to teach several grades in the same room.
The main reason that we stopped being able to provide a wonderful education, and we did provide a wonderful education, was because of standardized testing.
Like Stouse, other parents whose children went to the little schools in Granville and Hancock feel the students got a good education there. But they also feel the declining student numbers gave their children fewer opportunities to socialize with others. Ironically, while they had no choice in the decision to close, they now have full school choice as a result. The community has always had high school choice, but when the one-room schoolhouse closed, parents of younger children were also free to send them to any public or accredited school in the state. At the time, only Rochester provided bus service to its schools. Tammy Beatty decided to drive her son to Ripton instead.
He was starting to flourish in the village school, and I wanted something very similar. Because I had the choice, that's where I went.
After a couple of years, a bus started taking students to Ripton and on to Middlebury. Now both of Beatty's children attend high school in Middlebury. Other families chose other options. Today, Granville's students are spread out among 9 different elementary schools, including 2 independent schools, and 3 high schools. For Beatty, who's a single mom, the students' after-class activities and get-togethers with school friends involve a 1-hour round-trip drive to Middlebury.
So, if that meant trucking them over, going to pick them up, driving back over at 8 o'clock after my daughter's basketball practice. That's what we do.
Beatty once served on the Granville School Board, and she was involved in the Parent Teachers Organization. Now she teaches in Middlebury, too, so her life is centered there, and she has less contact with the neighbors she knew when Granville had a school. The Granville school budget has always been influenced by the cost of tuitioning high school students elsewhere. But now that all of the town's students attend school somewhere else, education costs are solely a function of tuition rates over which the town has no control. Former legislator Bruce Hyde chairs the Granville School Board.
Then our taxes might go down, they might go up, depends on where they're going to school. The difference in tuitions is enormous. Warren has been around $10,000 for their elementary school. Rochester's almost double that.
Neither do board members have any say in the programs and policies at the schools their children attend. But Hyde says there's some evidence people find Granville's school choice attractive.
We've had a couple of different instances where people have bought a plot of land and tried to use that as a residence for their kids to go for school choice. We've had a few that we've had to deny tuition because of that.
One concern raised when residents debate closing a school is the effect it will have on their sense of community. Many in Granville feel that sense has been diminished by the loss of the school.
Come in.
Thank you.
Eileen and Jim Daig have lived in Granville since 1970. Jim Daig says the school was the center of community life.
That was the only common thing that people had, even the older folks. You know, they go to the programs.
It could also be argued that the school's closing is a symptom as much as a cause of loss of community. With far fewer local jobs, residents now commute elsewhere for work. Many of the houses in towns are second homes. Eileen Daig says lots of factors contributed to the weakening of community.
It was a long time ago that the community was strong. I think it would have gone away. Well, I think it did go away, with or without the school.
With its quiet, natural beauty, relatively low housing costs, and its school choice, some feel Granville is poised to attract a new wave of residents. If they come, they'll find a community different from the one that existed before the school closed. For VPR News, I'm Steve Zind.